Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Know to whom you belong. You belong to the great party giver of the heavens and the universe. Know to whom you belong. You belong to the one who created the earth to celebrate the gift of life in his very presence. That every morning when you are greeted, well, some of you actually greet the rising sun. But all of us then greet the evening and the setting sun. That's God's reminder of the party of this world in which we live. But we've got a problem, and the problem is called sin. The problem is wanting to remake God in our own image, to reshape his creation, to fit our own comfort level. But God is God. And God loves us so much as he's not going to be remade in our image. But he loves us so much that he is steadfast in his invitation to the party of life. So he has given a measure. It's called the Christ. He has given a means. It's called the crucifixion and resurrection, by which we can be in the party on the terms of grace and love. So step into the party. Step into the party by knowing that you belong and that you can feel the embrace and the warmth of his love. To such an extent that you know you've truly felt the embrace is when you then encourage others to feel that same love embracing them. To know to whom you belong is to know that you don't belong to tumult, to controversy, to divisiveness. You don't belong to the one who comes to seek to destroy and to create confusion. You belong to the one who creates a unity in the diversity, who creates a unity in the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This is the story of a party that won't get redesigned by others seeking to distract it. And that we're serving on the front line. At this time in history, we're serving on the front line. And I pray we're doing so with a smile in our hearts. So that we may extend the love in a way that's contagious for others. And they can see that gift of love and life. That's our calling. And this is what all of us can do. We're all asking, what is it that we can do for these times in which we live? And what we can do is to know who we are and whose we are and why we are. Now, don't worry. I didn't forget that I preached that last Sunday. But it is the building blocks by which we can always know how we're in the party. Cindy, you touched our hearts when you spoke, because he lives. You can face tomorrow, you can face the finances, you can trust him, his generosity with your generosity. Wow. Veronica, you invited us to the party. In your prayer that brought us into the Lord's presence, we feel the joy of our worship team and the extension of that joy and how we sing unto the Lord and glad to have Jacob back from his paternity leave. And he connected us to a Fanny Crosby hymn. And just remember that she was blind when she wrote her hymns. And she was blind because of a early childhood illness. And then also a doctor kind of messed things up. She could have been destroyed by anger and resentment. But she saw with the eyes of her heart this party that God was throwing, and she wrote hymns to invite us in to sing along. Speaking of singing, one of our grandchildren was hanging out with me at home the other day, and I won't say which one, but one of them was there and said to me, "Poppy, why are you always singing?" And what she was really saying is, "Can you stop singing?" And she was calling out, she was aware that I don't sing on tune, but something's inside me that just has to sing around the house. It's a praise. It's a praise unto the Lord. It's a praise in the gift of this party of life. And you know, and my chemical that boosts me up is having light and having song. Having the sunlight and having the song of the Son, it boosted me up. My brother sent this praise song to me, and it's one of those songs I've been singing. We're going to use it as a responsive reading today. And I ask that I'm going to read the line, and then if you'll read the line that is underlined, and take this as a praise. I'm not going to lead you in singing it, but I will lead you in a responsive praise. Okay. We'll see you break down every wall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. Forever lift him high. God, we praise you. Let praise be a weapon. Let it rise, let praise arise. And it changes everything. And we claim your victory. Let faith be the song. Let faith be the song. Let it rise. Let faith arise. Woo! That's never defeated. That's the party lights that never go out. That's the party that you don't have a hangover the next morning. That's the party that gets you up in the morning with a reason and sends you with purpose during the day in light of his presence. You know, and America's going to throw a party on Wednesday. It's called the inauguration of a new president and vice president. And the gift of this party is the gift of whoever won. We're going to have a peaceful transition. This is a gift that we give the world. And as a city set on a hill, as Cotton Mather, this early preacher in America, said, we are called to be a city set on a hill. And if we're going to shine that light to a world that is watching, we can model what it means to handle our disagreements in a way that we talk them through. Now, we got a party document as a nation. It's called, among many of those documents, one is called the Constitution. And you know how it begins? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, to establish justice and provide peace in our lives, our world. And the opening for that, I want to read it to you. It goes, from there it says, and to ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure, and to be able to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Now we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord is the oldest confession of faith. But by being then these followers of Christ, we can be most faithful and true within the country in which we live, and for us, that is here, and for that which I am grateful. And that we have a part to play with people that can disagree with us on Facebook, disagree with us in text messages, disagree with us in emails, disagree with us on the phone call, disagree with us on a whole bunch of settings, because when we have been on our bended knees and we arrive, we speak in love. We hear words of hope for a bridge to overcome any disagreement. We're able to show to shine the light on the one who gives the light for all. That's a powerful one of the lines in which we have when we have fear, like if someone's going on the stage and we'll say, you know, break a leg, like the worst thing that could happen. Okay, so. So our daughter Rachel is an actress at Baylor University and some other places, and we took my mother to see one of her performances, and she was in dementia. She was in some earlier stages of dementia, and she wanted to, you know, say a good word of encouragement. She remembers trying to remember that line, but it was coming slow for her, you know. She said it with a big smile on her face and love in her heart. She says, go tear your head off. So this morning we had some of my family is, you know, out and about and other parts of Texas, and they were catching me up on some family news, and they knew this is Sunday and I'd be here. And so the last line in the family text was, "And tear your head off." Okay. It's the sense that if we can look at the worst that could happen and see the hope of God, then we are not overwhelmed by the fear that is there. And the gift that we give others is to be centered in His presence. And in that centering, we have common ground like a communion meal that we're about to celebrate. Oh, how a world needs for us truly be these Christ followers. The passage that Gay and Mark read for us. There's this passage that opens up in this Luke 5:1 when it said the people were gathered around the Lake Gennesaret. Now, that's the same as the Sea of Galilee. Just Luke uses it a different term because he's a Greek guy. And they're by the lake, and the people were crowding around Jesus. And what were they doing? What's the underlying phrase? What were they doing? Listening to the Word of God. Listening to the party giver and the party maker about the language of the party. The author of Hebrews, in the time of persecution, wrote to the early church when he said, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any discerning force, dividing even asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, revealing the hearts, the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's the word of God. We really listen when we really want. We really listen to this word of God. We find that it comes alive for us. The Apostle Paul would write. He would write his last letter when he said, "For the word of God is inspired. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So listen, really listen to this word of the Lord. This word of Scripture, 31,101 verses, but let it come off the page into your heart. Pray, "Lord, help me to understand by really listening." Isn't that a gift that you give your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your coworker, a friend at the street, somebody who's maybe disagreeing with, and be able to say, "Help me understand." So they were hungering because the Son of God was on the scene. The Messiah had been sent to the world. The source of the authorship of the Scripture, life itself, was in their midst, and they were listening to the Word of God. Now, when we hear the Word of God, we are changed. Just like we can't remake the party that God throws in our own image, so we can't reshape the Scriptures to fit our own preferences. We are changed by this ultimate word for our understanding and application. And Jesus would say, to know that you're really at the party and you're really having fun, and at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, he would say, "Those who hear my words and put them into practice is like the person who builds his or her house on solid ground." That's what the Word of God does for us. That's why we're not thrown off by stuff that goes on around us. We grieve, we rise to the challenge, we seek to respond. But when our feet is on this solid ground, we have our place to stand. And by holding that balance, we're there. Now, I've had ear problems since I was a kid, and in the ear, there's called a vestibular nerve. It's key to our balance. And I know even to this day, if I'm having problems with my ear, it throws my balance off. And when we are thrown off by circumstances in the world, our faith vestibular nerve needs to be treated. And this is the time that God is treating us. Hearing this word of God, this shapes who you are. Then we move to the promise of what Simon then said. "Master, you're telling us along the Sea of Gennesaret, Galilee, you know, we've been fishing all night. Here you are, you're preaching, you know, you're teaching this word of God. And we've come in from a night and we didn't catch any fish. We were using our night nets, doing it just right. We have no fish to go to the marketplace. We're not going to get the money we needed to feed our families. It's been a hard night." And Jesus looked at them because he was using Peter's boat in order to get out from the shore to have more distance so more people could hear him. He was using Peter's business in order to share his message. The Lord wants you to use your vocation in order people to see him and hear him. And so Jesus, the party giver, looked at him and smiled, and he says, go back out into the deep. Go out into the deep and see if you can't catch something. And Peter said, I'm exhausted, but hear this. Say it with me, underlined, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. See, when we're most exhausted, because he says so, we can do it. He gives us the energy to do what he calls us to do and to be the people he has called us to be. We see this on the lives of each other. We are inspired by others. The party that Trinity Baptist Church gives us, you come, you let us be together as party folk, and you're going to grow in love, you're going to grow in friendships, you're going to grow spiritually, and you're going to grow by using your talents in the world. These are our four promises to each other, and one of the people who does that in our midst so beautifully is a Randy Patterson. And as you see this photograph of Randy, you may not recognize him, but there he is. Now, if you look closely, you'll see, those of you who know Randy, see Randy in that photograph. He's about 10 years old. He had been in a worship service in which the pastor was preaching on this passage about go out into the deep and throw down your nets. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of this 10-year-old boy and said, now just trust me with your life. And to that moment, Randy trusted him as Savior and committed to him as Lord. I'm so proud of y'all, but for that with Randy is he's one of the top five oil and gas attorneys in Texas. Humble in his work, servant leader in our midst, faithful in his message, because what we have seen from him is that he keeps going out to the deep. He keeps putting out his net, that wherever he is, this story about a beginning, really listening to the word of God, as the story about that beginning, and then the obedience and the follow-through just keeps doing what God does in our life, keeps growing us and shaping us too. Now, once you've listened, really listened, then live fearlessly in light of God. Be in awe. Expand your life. Share the joy of this good news. Be generous with God's generosity. See God's hope for others. Fish. This is whose you are. See, when Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. God knows your fear. He knows my fear. He comes to us in our fear, and he can reshape it into a faith beyond ourselves, but by his very presence that enables us to be faithful. You know, we're not really living on the edge of life until we know what fear is. But once fear has knocked on the door of your heart, let go of it. Give it to God. Let go of it. Put it in his hands. He'll make it into something absolutely magnificent that's called obedience. And through that obedience, then his wonder is set loose. Because what Peter did when he saw that, he went out to the deep, he put down his nets, he was fussing at Jesus the whole time, but he said, okay, I've been listening to this guy, I'm going to do this. And he comes out with more fish than one boat could haul. Two boats were required to get all that fish into the shore. And he's going to take that to the marketplace, that's part of his business, part of all that. It's just seeing, though, how the Lord is at work. And then he looked at Jesus and he was afraid. He told Jesus, go away from me. You remember how the Gospel of Matthew ends when he says, Jesus said, go into all the earth? Here he is saying, go away from me because I am a sinner and I recognize your holiness. That's how we've been worshiping this morning, right? We know who we are and who he is and that we belong to him. Therefore, we may be in his presence and be in this party. He gives us the confidence in just a moment to hold the bread and the cup, the power that he gives. And Jesus said, follow me. Those are the words of discipleship. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that time and time and time again. The first four books of the New Testament called the Gospels. It's a sign of discipleship. Are you following Jesus in the party? Are you fishing? Are you inviting in the party? And if you ever get, you know, feel like you're getting tired, Lord, can I keep doing this? Just think of one of our own, Ann Mosley. She lived to be 106 years old, just passed away a few days ago. It means she was born in 1914. How many of you want to live to be 106? All right, yeah, there we go, all right. I see a couple of bold hands here, Clayton. The rest of you are thinking, I don't know. You know, think how much the world has changed since she was born before World War I, when there's still a horse and buggy on the roads and not cars. Anyway, she has seen all of this. And her heart was a heart that had been shaped by grief, husband dying when she had three little kids, all the changes in the world. But she stayed connected to this heart of Christ that gave her energy and to the sacred gift of being with her shortly before she passed away. And just feeling this new party about to be given. The party that begins here on earth, the party that finds its crescendo where there is no sin. The place is called heaven, more real than earth itself. And yet it speaks to all the realities of life on earth. Think of Anne when you think, I just can't do this anymore. And that God will renew your spirit if you're willing to follow him. So you've listened, really listened. You're living fearlessly in light of God. And then you invite. You invite others. With love in your heart, you share, you're vulnerable, you invite others to God's open table, this table, the table of the banquet. Be God's kind of difference in our troubled world. This shows why you are. Some people just want to be arguing with you, and don't get in that argument. It does no good. Just don't do it. Don't do it on Facebook. Don't do it in a text, don't do it in an email, phone call. But what you can do is to say, I would really like, just really like to talk with you from our heart to heart. Not angry at each other, I just want to talk with you. A while back I did that with somebody who I dearly love and respect. And I responded, and it connected. And came together. It was truly this sign of God at work. The Lord loves us and greets us. Sometimes we wonder if anyone can hold us that close. A friend sent this to me as a reminder that all of us want someone that's just obsessed with us, loves us, and it's probably going to happen, but it's probably going to be a dog. Okay. That's just how it is, you know. Even we feel like that's the only one that's going to come and want to sit in our lap and just love on us. But then let that be a sign of God's creation about his very presence. Loving you. Jesus from the cross spoke his words of love and extends an RSVP, what Debbie shared in their children's message. He extends the invitation. And this phrase, which means please reply. Jesus said, you got it. You got to reply. If you say no, you got the free will to do that. But oh, you're missing out. And it puts sadness in the heart of God. And when you say yes, it puts gladness into God's heart. And so this Jesus has come for life on the cross, which he lived and died. Go to the place where he was buried today, and what we see is that he is risen. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.